From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We'll have a little IHL talk today. We'll have some football talk today. Matt Luke, Rich Rodriguez, Mike McIntyre meeting with the media yesterday from the Manning Center on campus in anticipation of Ole Miss and Texas A&M this weekend. 6:30 start for that one there at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Sorry, killing Wi-Fi on my phone, so we save a little bandwidth there. But anyway, podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. You'll have the free gas for your sweepstakes that runs all the way through Halloween, so a few more days for that. All you can do is sign up for that Mobile Rewards Plus card that hopefully you have already, and you get automatically entered with 8 gallons of gas per fill-up there with all Blue Sky locations and the Oxford Exxon. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. The rest is kind of up to you. You can shop that quote around, or you can do what I've done. And what I would recommend that you do, and that is hop into a Clark Ford today. You'll love the product. You'll love the service after the sale, all of those things. And Corey wants to be your truck guy. He wants to be your car guy, and he'll prove it to you. All you got to do is make that call, 662-257-1900.
So we're up streaming for anybody. We'll do this most mornings. Just trying to kind of think about housekeeping reasons, but good response yesterday. Appreciate all who either watched the replay or hung out with us live yesterday. We'll keep an eye on the chat box. Won't necessarily use it all the time, but that does allow for some interaction that we did not have before. I think for some reason my camera is a little better today than it has been in past days. I don't know what's up. So I'm almost beginning to wonder if it's a computer thing, depending on how much stuff I have open and just power and whatever. I don't know.
Could be.
It's a good question.
You've got more stuff on your computer than I do.
Yeah, so. It's a question that I do not have an answer to. But anyway. Did you see the timeline and the statement from the IHL yesterday?
I did. I thought that cleared things up a lot. I mean, I came away from that thinking, let's just move on. Everything's perfect now. It really makes a lot of sense. Again, it strikes me as perfectly normal that a man would get a phone call on a Thursday, a retired man, we'd get a phone call on a Thursday that said, hey, would you mind coming over here real quick? We'd like to interview you for a job. And he says, oh, yeah, I'll be there in 10 minutes. And he gets there, he interviews for a job. They offer him the job, and he says right there on the spot, without calling home or thinking about it or anything, oh, yeah, cool. Start tomorrow? Yeah, all good. Yeah. To me, that makes a lot of sense. And I have walked away from this over the last few days with the chance to reflect, and now that the people at the IHL who are incredible at public relations and media relations, I mean, Karen Blanton is a star. She is a star. I mean, she is like Sean Spicer. She's going to be the next Dancing with the Stars contestant. It is incredible how she cleared this up. They cleared this up with everything, and I now believe that nothing was fixed, that this was just a spur-of-the-moment deal. This had nothing to do with incompetence or anything like that. And frankly, I'm blown away. I think it's awesome. I've walked away from this. I want a T-shirt that says IHL just so I can wear it every damn day.
Just IHL across the front?
Just across the front, because that, to me, says everything. It speaks of character, of learning, of
adaptability, really.
Well, yeah. it's I'm pumped. I'm so excited. I mean, I'm not even an Ole Miss guy, and I'm so excited about the Boyce administration. There's no doubt in my mind that they're going to set up some committees. And here's the great part about all the committees that they're going to form at Ole Miss. Are you ready?
Sure.
He's going to be over those committees, which means at the end of the process, if you don't get who you want, he'll just hire himself. It's going to be awesome.
So you had a little more reaction there than I thought you would.
Obviously. I'm pumped. I just think it's awesome today.
Okay.
Fired up.
So here's what happened for everybody who's kind of in the dark and don't understand why we're being what we are at the moment. So
we do need an IHL backdrop.
Do we?
Chris Harrell says that on the chat box, and he's exactly right.
Oh, like a thing.
An IHL banner.
A curtain or just, whatever.
Absolutely.
So, all right, statement on the search process last night from the IHL. This came out, I don't know. It came out, and then within like 20 minutes, 47 people sent it to me. So I had a chance to review it. There's also a timeline that's very cute with it. Said that he completely stopped all process prior to the search.
Everything.
Before Bufkin Baker even started taking applications.
Absolutely.
Is what the timeline said.
Are you questioning the veracity of that?
I have no intimate knowledge of it. However, I do. I did speak to a very high-profile person who was a candidate that said that as of mid-September, there were still conversations.
Okay.
You were in the room. Or not really in the room, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Board of Trustees followed its policies and bylaws throughout the search process. Mm-hmm. For a University of Mississippi Chancellor, the Board initiated its search process pursuant to IHL policy, whatever. It's important to note that Section E, they've got this one like in bold, entitled Recruitment, allows the Board at any point in the search process to add additional candidates to the pool being considered without starting the process over. Here's what's funny about that, real quick. Nobody's disputing that. This is actually, in all honesty, it's pretty good PR because nobody's fighting that. So they just bold and reemphasize something that we all go, okay, yeah, I saw that. That's great.
Yeah.
Move on. Says it goes on to state that, quote, the decision regarding whether to have such additional candidates reviewed by the Campus Search Advisory Committee is in the discretion of the board. Additional interviews may be conducted as desired by the board. Again, no one's arguing that.
Right.
They never mention, though, the part that is being argued by some people and got pointed out in the story we wrote that Sunday morning is that their own bylaws also have a situation though in them where if they're going to do that, they have to do it prior to the search to a search consultant being hired. If they're going to have an expedited process, their bylaws state that happen prior to a search consultant.
Bufkin Baker was not a search consultant. It was a search firm. It's a difference.
I think that would be their argument.
Well, it's not a consultant.
And I think they would argue that Boyce was not a search consultant for the search. He was the pre-search consultant. I think those would be their actual argument should they mention that.
Well, see, Boyce wasn't a search consultant. Boyce was a searcher. And there's a difference. It's a big difference. And he didn't. He never technically made a business card that said search consultant. He just said, I'm part of the search. I'm leading the search. He actually was the search.
He's developing the profile.
He was the search leader.
That looks a lot like the person in the mirror.
And profile developer. He was never a search consultant. God, you and all of your little friends, just you can't accept this. You can't accept that this thing was done completely above board and the profiler and searcher, lead searcher found himself. You know, think about this. Think uh-huh. How many times do you hear somebody when they're going through some life problems, they say, I'm just kind of trying to find myself. You'll hear like
search within, really.
Well, you'll hear literally they'll say, I'm just trying to kind of find myself. Glenn Boyce found himself and then he hired himself. It's incredible. This guy's a leader.
So no mention whatsoever in this press release of what I'm actually curious about, how they would get around that. None at all. Just let's mention things that, yes, I agree. That is correct. So then it carries on. It says, when the board decided on October 3rd to ask Dr. Glenn Boyce to discuss possibly taking over the position of chancellor, and when the board interviewed Dr. Boyce for the position on October 3rd, the board was exercising Section E of Policy 201.0509.
Right.
The board next followed its bylaw 301, whatever, when it voted to suspend. This is my favorite paragraph of this whole press release. I screenshotted this one last night for a tweet.
Okay.
When it voted to suspend, waive the remainder of the requirements of its search process within policy, whatever, and hire Dr. Boyce as chancellor. Policy 301 states that, quote, a member may move to suspend any policies, bylaws, or rules. A motion to suspend shall state the matter of business to be considered, must be properly seconded, and shall fail without a vote in favor of the same by at least 7 members of the board, which is a majority because it's 12 members.
Gotcha.
Again, the Board of Trustees followed its policies and bylaws throughout the search process for UM Chancellor. And look, I'm not a parliamentarian. I have no, the rules of order is not something I'm overly in depth on whatsoever. I do know one. I'm going to call him later today.
Okay.
Point being, and this, look, if I'm missing something, Mr. IHL, if I'm missing something, fill me in.
Okay.
Let me read this again. A member may move to suspend any policies, bylaws, or rules.
So what that says, let's break that down.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Someone can just say, raise their hand and say, yes.
I vote to ignore this.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner.
Mr. Commissioner, I vote right now that we take all of our rules and set them on fire. For right now, no rules.
Why even have any bylaws? Why even have a book? What I find funny about this, too, is it says, shall fail without a vote in favor of the same by at least 7 members. Just say the vote passes. It doesn't require some special majority to do this.
No, it's just 7 members. Yeah, just 7-5 and you got it.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, well, 10 out of 12 better agree. No, it's 7. It's just like any other motion that you would make that has to pass by a majority.
It's almost like they doth protest too much.
Well, yeah. It.
They're really, you know what they're angry about? They're angry that
that they're being questioned.
They're angry that journalism happened. The truth is, Ford Dye and Chip Morgan and all of those people are pissed off that people did their jobs and asked questions. And that the public as a whole doesn't buy it. They're angry. Damn it, they're smarter than we are, and we should just follow their lead. I don't know.
What frustrates me the most about this, it's a public entity. It's a government-funded entity.
Yeah.
If you can just wave whatever you want whenever you want to, how's the public supposed to follow you?
Well, they can't.
How's the public supposed to know any idea of not just what you're doing, but what you're supposed to do?
They don't want you to know.
That's my problem.
Well, but I'm giving you the answer.
Yeah.
The answer is they don't want you to know. And if there was a way for them to make it private, they would. And frankly, they're pissed off at people like you and me and Adam and others who've actually done journalism on this. I'm not picking on the Clarion Ledger or whatever, but, you know, the days of there being, you know, veteran grizzled reporters that sniff it out and go, wait a minute, and have a lifetime of contacts and can dig into something and expose it. Those days are over. And so people have asked, do they think the people are stupid? Yes, they do. They think you're stupid, and they're gambling, and they're probably right that this too shall pass, that in this news cycle that we live in today, where everything is just a whirlwind inside a volcano, that it will just, we'll move on.
Do you think, like sitting in the room, whether it be Carol Blanton or whomever, what do you think the purpose of that was last night? Because there's no way anybody thought it was actually transparent. So what was the purpose?
Oh, no. This is you giving people too much credit. There are a lot of people.
Kind of like how I not ignored, but I minimized the Glenn Boyce thing throughout the final month of the search process.
It's just your nature.
Yeah.
When I kept telling you, hey, man, they're going to hire Boyce. You're like, no, they're not. I'm like, yeah, they are. I mean, this is where this thing's going.
I think most people are smarter than maybe they are.
You give people far more credit. Me, on the other hand, I acknowledge that, man, there's a lot of dumb people out there. Like, look at how many people can't get there, and there correct. I mean, that's a sign of something. So, I don't know. I mean, I think they put that out last night because they thought it would convince a lot of the simpletons. And it probably did. Like my little sarcastic response a minute ago, that's probably a real response from a lot of people. Oh, well, that explains it. They just suspended their rules.
Well, that's true.
So why not? I mean, so the next time that you conduct a chancellor search or a president search at any of the state schools, there's no reason for anybody outside to apply. They're going to hire who they want to hire, and there's no reason to even say, hey, we're going to have a process, because you can suspend the process and kill the process at any time, and you can do a Clinton-esque definition of a word. Well, we didn't have a search consultant. We had a search firm, and they didn't start. They just commenced.
Depends what is.
Yeah. What's the definition? Well, it depends on what the definition of is. But he started. He's in the Lyceum, and he's doing his job. And so now what they're gambling is that by Thursday, everybody will lose their patience and move on, and they're probably right.
They're banking on two things. Nothing crazy coming out of the Faculty Senate meeting this week.
Well, that's a gamble.
And the salary passing without issue on Friday, which will happen.
Well, that will happen because let's be crystal clear here.
Yeah.
They're holding stuff over the foundation. Hey, you want us to fund that STEM building? You want us to do this? You're going to pass this salary.
A lot of board members believe it is prudent at the end of the day to go ahead and pass it.
Yeah, let's not fight the big bad IHL. And let's face it, they want to give him a raise so that then they have a reason at that point to give Emmert a raise. Not Emmert. Keenum. Emmert's at NCAA.
You make a good point as we kind of close the segment, though. Seriously, 5 of the last 6 IHL hires have been inside the system.
Yeah.
The other one was an alumna from Alcorn State, I believe.
Yeah.
If you are a preeminent candidate, you have to think twice about applying in the future.
You just don't.
A, because of leaks. B, because, frankly, some reputations have been harmed in this throughout the process.
Of course.
And then C, do I have a chance anyway,
what? And the answer is, A, there are going to be leaks. B, the whole thing is fixed. And C, you're not going to get it.
Did you holler at Siri there?
Siri felt like I was speaking to her.
What was the keyword?
I guess C. She thought C was Siri.
Mine wouldn't talk back to me yesterday. I kept saying, hey, Siri, and nothing would happen. Just nothing.
Did you upset
right there.
Did you upset her?
I don't know. Poof, nothing. My phone was like across, and I was just asking what time it was.
See, sometimes I think you have to just say something nice out of the blue, like this. Hey, Siri, I sure do appreciate you.
Oh.
Hey, Siri, I sure do appreciate you, but I could search the web for it.
Hey, Siri, I love you.
That's sweet.
See? It's kindness.
Neil McCready starring in the sequel of Her, coming out to theaters next year.
Kindness.
Okay. Fair enough. We'll move on to some football talk and more in a second. First, about G&M Pharmacy there on South Lamar in Oxford. You know, with flu season here. They got flu vaccines available with a $0 copay. It's pretty much free on most insurance plans. No one has time to wait in line with overworked pharmacists at the chain drugstores. Stop by one of the locally owned pharmacies where they have multiple pharmacists available dedicated to getting you in and out as quickly and painlessly as possible. That is G&M on South Lamar, Tyson Drugs on the Square in Holly Springs, 662-236-2222.
This here Potato Log Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB also offers its customers a commercial checking account, now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. It comes with fully interactive online banking. They can set up any local business to deposit checks from their office and not have to worry with coming to the bank daily to deposit those checks. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. We're also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. If you are coming up this weekend for Texas A&M, for Square Jam, for whatever the case may be, and you are thinking about moving to Oxford, you think about retiring in Oxford, may I suggest that you check out Savannah Square. It's a new 9-acre development, 0.7 miles from the Oxford downtown square. Harry's a big part of that. There are multiple homes in different stages of development. You can also look at the model home at 215 William Street. Just get in touch with Harry, 662-801-5621, or look at the site, SavannahSquareOxford.com. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals there at Grenada Nissan as well. All you got to do is go in, tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast or at rebelgrove.com, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. Whatever trip you're thinking about, golf trip, anniversary trip, a late honeymoon, I don't know, whatever, get in touch with John. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows him to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. All you do is you give him a call, give him an email, you give him some parameters, you give him a budget, and he'll give you options. You don't commit until you commit. You don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services either. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
Podcast is brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting and understands your market. A leader in condo financing, the float-down option, and with rates as low as they've been in about 2 years. Good time to talk to Jason. That's 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com. Seeing from the chat here, yes, it is a British Siri that Neil is using right now.
I don't use her.
You don't.
We
use
have
her.
A relationship.
We have a relationship. There's a British version. There's an Australian version.
Yep.
I think. Pretty
yep.
sure.
Yep.
So let's see.
Mine is a unique Siri. She's just mine.
So one of a kind.
Yep. Yep.
No other Siri like your Siri.
It's exactly right.
Okay. I don't have a cowlick. I have a double crown. There's a difference. So Matt Luke yesterday, very short press conference on a Monday for compared to the past weeks that we've had.
I had a long-standing physical exam that was scheduled for Monday. I was hoping it would be done long before, in plenty of time for me to get to football. That did not happen. And by the time that I realized I was going to miss, I was already had already given my blood and all of those things, and it was too late. So I missed. It's the first Monday I've missed since one last year where I decided these were pointless and I didn't go.
So no quarterback news whatsoever. Look, there's not going to be quarterback news, guys. They're going to play both of them to some extent.
Yep.
That's what is going to happen. If nothing else, they're going to try to make the opponent spend a little more time on it than usual, no matter what.
It's multifaceted. I think it's that.
It's actually, yeah.
I think it's also they don't really know which one's their guy yet or if either one of them is their guy yet. And then they would really rather that they one of them not get disgruntled and leave.
That would help.
Because I think there's probably some fear that somebody else is going to leave.
At least.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep quarterbacks nowadays.
Yeah.
The transfer portal has changed the quarterback game. That's what it's done.
Absolutely.
A lot of other positions, you kind of just get into transfer hell for the most part, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not kind of elite, you're just kind of stuck there. But if you're a quarterback, hey, somebody's going to make a move. You got a spot. Somebody's going to take a shot on
you. Well, you talked about this the other day. I mean, look around the league. Look around the country at all the teams that have quarterbacks.
Transfers or freshmen?
Transfers that are, yeah. Either a kid's playing right away or they're bolt. There's lots of high-profile quarterbacks around the country that are transfers. You can almost just pick a random school and search it up, and the odds are at least 50% that their starting quarterback's a transfer.
Over or under 1.5 quarterbacks transfer? This
offseason, I'll go under.
Under? One?
One leaves. My suspicion is Tisdale leaves. No one's told me that, but that's my guess. I don't think Dent leaves yet, from everything I'm gathering. I don't think Plumlee leaves. I don't think Corral leaves. If Corral's going to leave, he's got to have a landing spot that makes sense, or he's got to be able to get a hardship waiver. Otherwise, he's sitting in
the and they are cracking down on some of the hardship waivers. That's become a more difficult process.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's conceivable, and I do not know this. No one has said
this.
We're
just talking.
We're just chatting. We're just talking. We're changing the rules as we go. I guess it's conceivable that he could come up with something. You know, there's a family health issue, and he needs to be closer to home, and he transferred to San Diego State or something and could play right away. But he'd have to know that going in. He would if you're him. And I don't know why I'm using Corral here, because to my knowledge,
there's no reason behind it. Honestly,
yeah, honestly. But you know, if he were to transfer to say Indiana or something, and have to sit another year, I don't really know that that's the best strategy for him. We do both have pants on. Yes.
It's not like the TV guy who has shorts with the suit.
Yeah.
The most disconcerting I've ever seen of that was you were there too. The Coral Gables Regional in Miami. It's hot as blazes. 08.
Yeah.
When you were trying to sell your house, Spanish Fort.
Yep.
And Brian Jordan was doing the color of that series.
Oh, yeah.
And Miami's stadium at that point was horrific. Really, really bad. Yeah. Not as bad as Arizona State the year before, but not good. And they were out on the top row of just a concrete bench seating area thing. Very little cover, if any cover. And he's just sweating blazes because he's got on a full suit up top and he's wearing like a pair of swimming trunks on the bottom. So it looked really funny, but I mean, you're dying. It's June in South Beach.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, yeah. He was over. I believe it was him and Tino Martinez, I believe, were the people that did that.
It's a name from the past.
I think so. Maybe I'm wrong, but.
I wonder what Tino Martinez is doing now.
I don't know. Don't know what he's doing. Maybe he had a fledgling broadcast career.
Right? Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, not much. They're pretty healthy for the most part, it seems like, other than the guys are missing because of the disqualifications from Saturday.
Saw where Mike McIntyre said they probably should start tackling better.
Well, there's
some truth there.
I found that interesting.
Missed a lot of tackles Saturday.
Matt Luke was more frustrated by the run defense from some of the secondary members and things than he was the pass defense yesterday. And I'm beginning to wonder if it's, hey, if we don't stop the run, it just doesn't matter. Yeah, it's actually a point here. The more I'm thinking about this, I mean, you guys are seeing me kind of change my direction midstream. Pass defense is a lot of athletic ability. Tackling is a lot of want to, a lot of understanding, getting in the right spot at the right time. And now, look, there's some speed involved in that too, don't get me wrong. A lot of times people go, hey, they're really bad tacklers. Well, it's because they don't get to the point of impact quick enough. However, if Ole Miss doesn't tackle and the run thing gets a little squirrely, that defense is bad. Defense is really bad.
That defense.
You can't fix the pass defense. You can fix the run defense to a certain extent.
That defense at times on Saturday night looked like last year. Just couldn't get off the field. Now, they're better, and some of the mistakes were stupid mistakes. The Tisdale thing was just dumb.
They did cut it down a little bit. They missed 17 tackles against Vanderbilt. They missed 13 tackles Saturday against Missouri. Just pulled it up.
13?
Yeah.
Okay.
13 missed tackles against Missouri. Trying to see who had multiple.
It's a lot.
Lakia, Luke Knox, and Miles Hartsfield had two, and then a bunch of people had one.
Yeah.
And now Lakia is being asked to make tackles on almost every other play.
He's making a lot of tackles. He's in the spot to make a lot of tackles.
This has him with 9 tackles on Saturday. I don't know what the official – there's been a lot of discrepancies here on these stats versus Ole Miss's kept stats on who gets assisted tackles and things. So, whatever. Forget it. Not a big deal. Otherwise, though, not much. I mean, it's – that Kellen Mond is going to run around a little bit. Matt mentioned that he is kind of like some guys they faced previously, but that they do a lot more actually designed runs with Kellen Mond, where he gets it. It's quarterback powers and things along those lines, not just scrambling or losing containment or reads even. It's, hey, I'm going to grab the ball and I'm running through this gap.
He would prefer to play that way.
Matt?
Kellen Mond. The way to beat them is to get them into third and long and make him make decisions. Bully him. Hit him. He doesn't like being bullied at all. Let him get comfortable, and he can do damage.
Ole Miss only played 6 offensive linemen on Saturday against Missouri. They swapped out at left tackle between Broker and Howard, and everybody else played every snap.
I think Broker's about to start playing a lot more, and I think Ben Brown's going to start playing more center.
Well, that's where I was kind of getting at.
Okay.
He said that yesterday. He said that they have a chance to move Brown to center some, get Jalen Cunningham in the game, because this is kind of funny. We talked about Cunningham so much 2 weeks ago when he played a little bit. He only played, I think, 8 snaps against Vanderbilt last week, and he didn't play at all Saturday against Missouri. They had Eli Johnson, who played all 80 snaps.
Okay.
Ben Brown played 80 snaps. Givens played 80 snaps. Royce Newman played 80 snaps.
Okay.
And then they had Nick Broker, who played 44 snaps, and Michael Howard played 36 snaps. That was their offensive line snap counts on Saturday. So he mentions, hey, we can move Brandon, we can do this. And then Parrish Alford followed up and said, I didn't see that happen on Saturday. And Matt goes, no, I think Eli played the whole game. So I don't know if it's something they're hesitant with, if it's something they figured out after that and thought, hey, we got to make this move. But I found it interesting just because Matt jumped on that very quickly to go, hey, we need to do this. But then there was no evidence they actually did that on Saturday.
They're just getting beat a lot, guard, center, guard. It's the weakness of their team. I don't know. I get this question in my mailbag a lot, so I'll throw it at you. Who do you think's making the decisions offensively? Is it Rodriguez or is it Rodriguez with Luke's input?
Well, I mean, the head coach does have some level of input. It depends what we're talking about.
Well,
here.
Typically, that's not what I asked, though. I'm asking specific.
Oh, I think it's at least 85% Rodriguez. I think Matt makes big picture decisions.
Yeah.
I don't think Matt gets called into the offensive minutiae to the point of play calling. I mean, I guess there's potentially, hey, I really like this right here this one time or something. But from a systemic standpoint, I do not think that's a thing.
So it was a short press conference yesterday.
Very short.
Did he seem frustrated or was it just short?
Just short.
Have we hit the point in the year?
I think you've hit the point of the year when there's no injuries. You're not going to get a quarterback answer. So you can sit here and ask it 14 different ways if you want to. There also weren't a lot of filler questions yesterday. You know what I'm referring to.
Yes.
It was pretty much just questions and out. So.
We didn't get this portion of the Monday press conference where people talk to hear themselves talk.
No, not like we'll get for the LSU game in a few weeks. So that was some of it as well. It was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. But no, there are no storylines. That's the problem. Pass defense is bad. Matt says pass defense is bad. Quarterback situation. Keep them happy. Hope they feed off each other. That's it. I mean, there are other storylines, like, because there are certain running backs that have to get the ball more. That carry system is a little weird for me right now from a running back standpoint.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't understand.
Well, so much of it is that the quarterback's running the ball so much.
That there just aren't many carries left.
Yeah.
And again, I understand that's mostly reads. I get it. But it's weird.
It's so interesting to me how I'm skeptical of it. You seem to be less skeptical, but pretty skeptical of it, of its ability. The current offense, the way that it's built around the quarterback run to excel long term. And yet outsiders are just, wow, they're onto something. Like, I wonder if we're just so inside it that we can't see it.
Here's what I think it is. I think that when you've got a true freshman doing it, there's the expectation, especially considering he was a quarterback. It wasn't like, hey, I'm moving a running back to quarterback and running the Wildcat. It's actually a high school quarterback. I think there's the expectation that the passing improves as time goes on. And if it does, you've got a very dangerous situation where it doesn't have to get 1,000 times better. Also, in college football, you know, you can be a hell of a college football player and not be an NFL prospect at that position. It's more system-based in some ways. You can do a lot of stuff short and intermediate. You can kind of scheme your way through it a little bit more at the college game. And I think that's what some of it is. It's, hey, if there's just a little a moderate uptick in improvement here, you might really have something. I think that Plumlee from a career quarterback, has a higher ceiling than Matt Corral does, in my opinion. Because if you get better, you've got a really dynamic situation going on. Now, Matt can be a very good college quarterback. It's decision-making for Matt. That's what it is. It's holding the ball too long. There's some mechanical things that are kind of funky. And then it's decision-making.
Yeah, Plumlee's got to become a better thrower.
He does. He has to have the ability to drive the football through lanes better. That's what he has to have to improve on.
He doesn't do that at all right now.
No, that's the problem.
He throws the deep ball some, and he throws the little dump off. And
the deep ball, when it's bad, is short, which is not good. That gets picked.
Yeah.
You need to be long with the deep ball if you're going to miss.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yes. So, but you see him run. You see his athletic ability. Frankly, and again, this is an intangible that maybe we're dreaming it up a little bit. I also think you're seeing the team respond to him a little bit.
They do.
That is what it seems like to me.
Christopher Wells is making the Lamar Jackson comparison. The difference, and I don't remember Lamar Jackson as a freshman at Louisville. The difference is I think Jackson had a much better arm than Plumlee has right now.
I agree. From what we've seen. My problem is that other than hating them, I have no idea on Louisville football. I don't know what he looked like as a freshman.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's the only unfair thing a little bit. Now, look, everything's unfair when you go, well, you know, Plumlee is Tebow or Cam Newton. Those are Heisman winners, guys. Calm down. Cam Newton has a bazooka for a right arm.
He's not Newton because Newton could beat you.
And he's also a big physical 6-foot whatever, 200 and whatever.
Right, right. Cam was in college 6'5", 235 with the bazooka.
Yeah,
I mean, Cam Newton's a different
one of the top college football players I've ever seen.
Yes.
Tebow, big guy, could throw better than gets credit for, at least late in his career.
Yeah, I mean, I get the Tebow comparison a little bit more. Now, he's not the big physical runner, that, like you said, that Tebow is, but now he's faster than Tebow.
Well, it's more Lamar Jackson from that standpoint. It is.
Yeah.
From a running standpoint, it's more Lamar Jackson. But Lamar's a big guy.
Yeah.
The problem, though, is you can't also, on every comparison, now look, it's kind of like I said with linebacker of the day, you can't compare everybody to Heisman winners. It's dumb.
Right.
Pick other quarterbacks that they kind of look like. I mean, you can't go, hey, well, I'll tell you, Plumlee's Mike Vick. Okay. But, you know, let's do it some other way. But point being, you also can't go, hey, well, that seasoned quarterback is a redshirt senior compared to Plumlee right now. That's not fair either. He hasn't even had an offseason yet. So I think down the road, I do think John Rhys Plumlee is the quarterback. Barring Robbie Ashford, I don't know. We'll see when he gets here.
I will be absolutely fascinated in the spring. And they'll hate us for this, assuming that this is the same staff and all that stuff, okay. which is a hell of an assumption, honestly, because I don't know.
Okay.
But assuming it's the same staff and all that, how much of spring football does Plumlee play? What's his role on a baseball team?
And what role is required to keep you from the other?
Well, I mean, here's my point, is when he...
Is John Rhys Plumlee going to skip spring football to be a situational outfielder?
Right. Because that's the question. When he goes out for baseball, and baseball gets started, and they get serious about it. Because it's... You can giggle about it now, because they're playing fall ball and whatnot, and I guess they'll have a pizza series or something at some point.
They do.
I'm not making fun, but I mean, you're not playing real games. When the real season rolls around and five gets dialed in, what's Plumlee's role? Because if he's the sixth outfielder, Bianco doesn't care if he's out there or not. Ah, whatever. Go practice. Go ride your bike. I don't care. Whatever. You're not playing for me. You're just out here. But what if he wins a job? What if he becomes their fourth outfielder? And you know the baseball roster better than I do. I couldn't.
Oh, look, outfield's wide open.
So let's say he goes out there, just kicks and giggles, and is the fourth outfielder. Where Five's looking at him and going, hey, man, you're going to play some. You're going to start occasionally.
I need you over here.
I need you over here, and we've got to have some practice, and I need you at practice. That's where the – it's cute when it's Cinquez Golson. Hey, you're going to pinch run. All I need you to do is put your cleats on and be here by the seventh inning.
Yeah.
And, you know, stretch out a little bit so you don't hurt yourself.
You're going to steal a base for me.
Yeah, I'm going to put you in to run if we get on base.
Yeah.
And if we play Tennessee Wesleyan or something, maybe I'll give you an at-bat. That's fine. But if he's looking at it going, hey, we got who do they open? LSU?
LSU.
We got LSU coming in here this weekend, and I need you out here. You're part of my team. And I don't know the answer to this, but I'm curious to see where that goes.
And I think John Rhys at this moment plans to play both sports and give in the spring much more commitment to baseball than football. If you're the starting quarterback, that's a very difficult thing.
It's borderline impossible.
It's very complicated.
Because then
you're just not with them. I mean, there's a certain standpoint of you. It's your program. It's your team.
And then all those snaps, I don't know whether, is Ashford an early enrollee or not?
I have no idea.
All those snaps are going to somebody else. So, you know, and then you get into that deal of, and I know fans hate this, and I get it. Then you get into that deal of, hey, this guy earned the job. So much of the Corral thing, people, you know, Plumlee should have played against Memphis. Well, number one, that's assuming that Plumlee was ready to play against Memphis, that he knew the offense and all that stuff well enough to do it. But Corral had earned the job. There is something to be said for that. If you just throw somebody in and they didn't earn it, the message that gets sent throughout the locker room, it's kind of what happened at Mississippi State this year. It's why the whole team hates the coaching staff. They felt like one guy had earned the job and didn't get an opportunity at it. And I know what fans are saying, hey, man, play the best guy. Play the best guy. I get it. I do. But it's more complicated than that inside a locker room with 80-some-odd people who are not robots.
The team has to think you're one of us. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not a mercenary. You're not over here.
It's
seeing somebody put on chat that Lamar Jackson was pretty pedestrian as a freshman. It's like 1,800 passing yards. I don't know if he played all the time or not.
I don't even know what Plumlee's season totals are.
I don't know.
I could look it up, but
who cares?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
You know what he is right now, and that's not good enough as a passer. I don't think you can build your offense around that. I think you've got to be able, like you said, you've got to be able to drive the ball through some lanes. You've got to be able to throw the ball through some windows. You've got to be able to make a couple of the throws.
You don't have to be great because they're going to crowd the line on you. You're going to get opportunities, but you have to take advantage of those opportunities when you get them. That's the thing. Because they're going to keep it much in the box, because if not, you're going to torch them with your feet. Especially losing containment around ends and things along those lines. And frankly, he's found a lot of holes in the middle of the field that have been pretty impressive.
Oh, he's a hell of a runner.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a part of me that wonders.
He has to touch the football.
There's a part of me that wonders if he ought to be a running back.
Just move him around. Get him the ball. Like I said, he could probably catch.
Oh.
I would assume.
No doubt in my mind.
Throw it to him.
I mean, he would be a nightmare to guard in the slot, mm-hmm. in the open field. And he can take the hits because God knows he's getting hit a lot.
He does need to quit ducking his head quite so much.
He took some shots Saturday.
Yeah, he needs to deflect a little. Needs to go have a meeting with Dex. Figure out how to dodge those a little bit.
Yeah, Corral does that stuff too, which is just, hey man, you got to put the Rocky act away. I mean, you just got to get smarter, mm-hmm. as a football player.
So. We'll continue in 1 second. Before we do that, I'll tell you about MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, premium lawn care throughout northern Mississippi, but a lot more as well. They build custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, outdoor living spaces with paper patios, forestry mulching, and much more. The patch your dream backyard easier than you think. Go MasterCuts.com for a free quote or 662-607-7773. That's GoMasterCuts.com.
I'll be publishing a mailbag tomorrow. It is sponsored by the Weston Jackson. The Weston Jackson is home to Soul Spa, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more. And then you can gather at Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, where you can sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And Sunday brunch at the Westin Jackson. It's a Marriott property in downtown Jackson, Mississippi. We're also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi, represents clients in more than 20 states, has advisors in multiple states. They also have the Pinnacle Trust 401k Advisory Services team. When you work with Pinnacle Trust 401k Advisory Services, you gain a valuable advisory team and time-saving resource that will help you develop and maintain a solid strategy for your retirement plan. If the 401k plan for your business is just not performing the way that you wish that it would, get in touch with Pinnacle Trust. They can conduct a complimentary, no obligation benchmarking and analysis of your current 401k plan. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on this podcast. You get 10% off your first year's fee. It's pintrust.com, pinntrust.com. And we're brought to you by Southern Craft Stove and Tap. It's located off Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue in Oxford. Southern Craft Stove and Tap places an emphasis on food and atmosphere, mixing the quality of fine dining with a come-as-you-are environment. Featuring 30 craft beers and offering a high-quality selection of cuisine and libations, Southern Craft Stove and Tap has you covered for any occasion. Join them for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, or have your favorites catered out. Catering orders placed online currently receive 25% off any order totaling $100 or more. So avoid the chaos of parking on the square. Head over and experience carefully crafted dishes with your favorite Southern ingredients at Southern Craft Stove and Tap, Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue in Oxford.
So we talked to Jordan Ta'amu a few weeks ago. He knew that he was probably going to be picked up by the XFL. He was last night. He's headed to St. Louis to begin his XFL career. I did not know this until I read about it here. I've got the Clarion Ledger up for this. His free agent contract with the Texans was worth $1.76 million.
Really?
Yeah. Good for Jordan. Didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So just seeing that. Anyway, headed to the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Ah.
I had no idea of any XFL team names.
No, I couldn't begin to name them.
Where do they play? Where the Rams played? Or some smaller or something?
I don't know. They could play at Busch Stadium here soon.
Oh, that took a while, didn't it?
Boom. Gonna be open.
Lifelong Nationals fan?
Yeah. I tell you what, the Nationals have been good to me. They've eliminated the Brewers. They've eliminated the Dodgers.
And now the Cardinals.
And now they're on the cusp of sweeping.
That might be worth buying you a Curly W hat.
Oh, for it's sure. Over. You know what? I owe it to them to buy a Nationals hat. I do like their navy blue jersey. And I normally don't like navy blue jerseys. It's a good look.
It's the second situation where the local team doesn't pay for the high-profile guy and it pays off. Pujols, Cardinals made a better deal not signing him.
Yeah.
And then now Bryce Harper. Because if you sign Harper, you probably can't put that roster together like they put it together with the pitching.
No, there's no doubt.
I don't know if they can hit enough to beat the Astros or the Dodgers.
Yankees.
And I get it. Yeah, sorry. And I get it's only a 4 out of 7, whatever. But they can't pitch, though. Every time Strasburg or Scherzer takes it.
Did you see his stuff last night?
I mean, it's real.
It was electric. Strasburg made coin last night. He can opt out of his deal, and everyone assumes that he will. There will be no shortage.
So where will he go?
I don't know. No shortage of suitors. I mean, I can recommend a place to him.
You got an idea?
I've got a thought. I mean, Steven, if you're watching, the north side of Chicago is beautiful. You'll love it there. They got like restaurants and all sorts of stuff. You'll dig it.
I went back and read the actual quote yesterday. Joe Moorhead's interview or press conference. When I actually looked at the tweets and the quotes, not as bad as I was first kind of given to it yesterday, but kind of tried to play the sympathy card yesterday. Tried to play the, hey, my family reads, my family sees it. Yeah. I need you guys to whatever. This means a lot to me. It was... been around a lot of coaches, a lot of football seasons. That's a crack in the facade of where this thing's going.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. That's a little bit of a sledgehammer right there in the middle of it.
A little bit more than a crack in the... That is not just little weather cracks. That's... No, sir.
A little putty doesn't fix this one?
No, that's a foundational issue.
Reading from a friend of the podcast, Tyler Horka. perhaps the most downtrodden bulldog of them all was Moorhead's 18-year-old daughter, Kyra. She wiped back tears from as freshman cornerback Jerrion Jones wrapped his arm around her neck in support. She understands football and what Mississippi State means to her and what it means to me, Moorhead said.
Yeah.
I get it. No doubt. I'm sure that's tough. I understand it. I mean, I've seen Matt Luke's son cry. I mean, it's tough. It's a hard deal.
It is a tough deal.
There are
deal.
People. They are not robots.
Nope. And the people that are around them, frankly, didn't sign up for some of this.
But there is a thick skin to it that coaches, families, everybody, you just got to ignore it and do the best you can. You're never going to win that battle.
It's the advice we always give parents when they sign up for this. As much as I like,
stay off the message boards. Like, man, you stay away.
Yeah, don't read these boards. And that's that thing of when you get a job like an SEC job. If you're Joe Moorhead, you got to take the bad with the good. And if you don't want the bad, well, go coach at Missouri State.
You'll be all right.
Go coach at ULM. Seriously, no one's going to say anything. There aren't people who care that much. And there's really no forum for them to express it. You take an SEC job, there's going to be message boards.
You know
man.
What you're getting.
There's going to be radio shows. There's going to be podcasts. There's going to be people that talk about your job stability. I hate doing it. Like people will come up and go, man, you got after whoever hard. Yeah, I hate doing that. I mean, I don't like talking about Matt Luke's job stability. And then I stand down on the sideline and there's Ashley Luke and they have kids. And from all accounts, they're really nice people. I don't like doing all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's part of my job. If I do the whole, listen, you can't ever talk about coaches. Well, that's disingenuous. If you cover a program and the program's not achieving, that's part of the
topic.
That's the topic. People asked yesterday, hey, why are you guys talking about Luke's job stability? Because I'm not convinced it's not an issue. Now, at this point, Glenn Boyce could change that. He could do something at the AD, and the AD could walk in day one on a press conference. One of the first questions is the football coach something you're going to look at right now? And that AD, he or she could say, no, we're going to go in the next season, and I need some time to
process and check it and look at things.
To look
and
at
whatever.
Things, and to the best of my knowledge, Coach Luke's doing a good job, and he'll be here next season. And then that's the headline, and we move on. But until we get that, I don't know. Someone said, what happens if they go 4-8? I don't know. Can I sit here and definitively say that Matt Luke goes 4-8 and he keeps his job next year? I cannot.
I thought this quote was actually fine. I saw this one pulled out by some people. I thought this was accepting responsibility. I thought this was admitting that it's just kind of part of things. He says, you hear a few fans as she's walking out of the stadium telling her that her dad sucks, and they were right. On this day, I did suck, but that's part of it. The support you get from family means everything. I have no problem with that quote at all.
At all.
That quote acknowledges the nature of the business.
Yep.
And that it just is what it is.
He basically said it's a scoreboard business.
Yeah.
They lost a big game.
Yeah. We lost to Tennessee. I suck today. Okay.
Yeah.
Move on. The problem is at some point you better win some football games.
Here's the problem.
That Arkansas game and that Ole Miss game are looming large.
Huge.
For Joe Moorhead.
Here's the problem. They don't like him. Their people don't like him.
They tried to engineer the fit early. Remember they took him around and had him do some restaurant stuff and really tried to kind of ingrain some Southern into him, and it just didn't work. It's awkward and it's kind of clumsy. And
instead of Joe Maddon said this as he was leaving Chicago, and I wish I could go find the exact quote because it was exactly right. He was asked, what advice would you give to your successor? And he said, well, the same advice I'd give to anybody getting into this business. And that's be genuine. Be yourself. Be who you are. Be honest with who you are and don't change. Don't be something that you're not because it won't work. You can't sustain it. And State tried to do that with Moorhead, and Moorhead tried to do that at State. Instead of coming in and saying, hey, I'm not from here. I've never been here. But I'm thrilled with the opportunity, and I'm going to be myself.
I'm excited about the situation, and I'm excited about this, and blah, 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 blah.
But don't
blah,
do
blah.
That deal where all of a sudden you're going, hey, I tell you what, I just love me some sweet tea. And no, why? Why do all that? What does that even matter in the scoreboard business? Say, here's who I am. Joke about how I can't find the food that I'm used to eat. I don't know.
We follow Mullen's lead. It was kind of he did all the Ole Miss hokey stuff early, but as far as personal and getting kind of becoming a Stark villain, it was a deal where it was a process.
Yeah.
It was, hey, I am kind of a Yankee. I've been at Florida, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
sure.
It's whatever. And then after a while, you win a few games, and then he beats Ole Miss in 09, and they couldn't have cared less what he drank for dinner that night.
Nope. Exactly. You're in the scoreboard business.
He's a jerk, but he's our jerk. Who cares?
He was their jerk.
He's a Yankee, but he's our Yankee.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know.
There's a process to becoming one of them, whomever them is. That isn't necessarily a State thing, just in general.
Yeah. Well, and at some places, you're never going to become one of them. So just win.
Yeah. Well, Saban's not one of them.
No.
Jimbo, hopefully, is not one of them.
Oh, he hopes. But just do your job. Be yourself. You're right. Saban's a perfect example of it.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes he does some of the stupid stuff. I didn't know there was a presidential election today. Yeah. Stop. Just stop. But in terms of, hey, I'm going to be who I am and love it or leave, cool.
Speaking of one of them, we'll have Ross Bjork on the podcast Thursday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
We'll talk to Ross. Let's see. I had something else up in front of me a second ago. Moorhead kind of distracted me because I was reading those quotes and I got thrown off. Arkansas or State, who are you taking today?
In Fayetteville?
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning towards the Hogs.
Are you?
A little bit.
You keep expecting them to win one.
No, they've gotten close a couple of times. They're playing better. Hadn't shown up on the scoreboard yet, but they are playing a little better. I don't know that I don't know that I buy. I still know that I buy the State narrative that they're getting better. They're not. they're getting worse, and I do think there's issues inside their locker room. I've heard that from enough people to believe it to be true, and I think we're starting to see the impact of that on the field. They don't even play like a happy team.
No, there's very little. It's a manufactured enthusiasm. It's, hey, we're kind of cheering and helping our buddies because we're supposed to.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people in the stadium looking at us. It's the equivalent of the baseball team that has zero confidence, but they start doing some chants in the seventh inning. Or they start – the coach gets them up and goes, hey, I need some energy right here. And the next half inning, it's just all this clapping. You know what I mean? Where it's not in the game. It's, hey, we're just kind of doing this because we're supposed to. So – I don't know. What?
You going to close the live chat when
not
Ross
that I'm aware
comes
of,
on?
No. Okay. I don't think so. I hadn't really thought about that, but no, that's fine.
I mean, no reason to.
It's all good.
Yeah.
I don't know what I want to talk to him about yet. I hadn't thought about it.
Can we ask Colt questions?
That's a good question. I mean, he'd have to be real careful.
He would.
Real careful.
I just want to know, did he ever...
I mean, some buddies and I have thrown some very inside jokes at him along those lines over the course of the last couple months. But, he's probably got to be real careful.
On a podcast. I just wondered, did the North Korean band play for him when he showed up?
I mean, you can ask that.
Yeah.
I mean, you might get a chuckle. Just to make sure he's not on video, probably. We need to make sure it's just an audio Skype, not a video Skype.
Yeah, because I think I'd get more than a thumb.
Can we make him say howdy?
Yes.
We can make him say howdy.
Howdy and gig him.
Yeah, gig him.
And I do want to talk to him about how he had to learn the specific way to do the thumbs up, because it's like not...
Oh, there is a specific way.
Oh, yeah. He apparently was not doing the thumbs up correctly for a while.
I'm just kind of impressed that they actually make hires people that don't wear clash rings. It's really kind of amazing.
That's
true. What if he has to, do some program and get a clash ring? Because, I mean, they thump them on the table, too, all the time. Yeah. They're big on thumping them on the table.
Yeah, they're Frank Underwood.
They are.
Yeah. Probably not the only resemblance to
Frank Underwood. That's the best part of Ole Miss playing A&M when they're in a press box, is you hear nothing but rings all the time throughout the game. It's just they'll be sitting there and you're just hearing this over and over and over and over and over again. You're hearing the rings.
Does any other school get all crazy about class rings?
I'm not aware of anything along to that extent.
Did you ever get a college class ring?
I do not have a college class ring.
Did you get a high school class ring?
Yeah. I don't know where it is. No idea.
Yeah, I have no idea where mine is either.
You know where your Letterman's jacket or anything is?
No.
I never even put all the patches on my Letterman's jacket. I never finished it.
No, I didn't either. At one point, I thought it was at my parents' house, but I don't think it's there anymore.
Bro.
That'd be like a cool thing to give your kids. Like I bet like Caroline would like to wear my old Ruston High School letter jacket.
You think so?
Yeah, she'd probably think that was fun.
Okay.
She wears a Ruston sweatshirt sometimes.
Does she really?
Because she thinks it's fun, yeah.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Is it just blue with a big R on it?
It's red.
Red
with the... It's actually white with...
Are you red and white?
We're red and white. Remember Rutgers? We had an issue with Rutgers.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Rutgers sued us, damn it.
I keep getting Ruston and Rummel mixed up for some reason.
Yeah, well, don't do that.
You're not Rummel.
Hell no, we're not. We're the Ruston Bearcats. We're here to stay.
Is there a second verse to that?
We got the biggest, baddest band in the U.S. of A.
Is that really a thing?
Yeah, it's our chant, man. We got a big, long chant.
Whoa, seriously?
Yeah.
How big's your band?
I don't know. It's really big.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I don't remember. We said it was.
Okay.
Yep.
Just kind of curious.
Bearcat fever.
You've been back one time.
Yep.
That's it. For your reunion.
Yeah, that's it.
Will you do another reunion or is that it? Is it a one-time thing?
Well, I mean, I hope there's an opportunity for another one.
Well, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd probably go back.
I'm not sure I'll ever do one.
Really?
No.
But you stay in touch with a lot of people.
Oh, no.
You don't?
I don't know. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I'm not sure I've spoken... I know it's bad pod, but I'm thinking the last 7 or 8 years, I don't know that I've spoken to but two people I graduated high school with.
Really?
And I saw both of them at a golf tournament and just had casual conversation for a minute. I think that's it. I pocket dialed one the other day and hung it up quickly. He didn't actually mean to.
Why are you so antisocial with your old classmates from Hatley?
I don't know. Well, there aren't many of us.
How big was your class?
64.
Okay.
Yeah, 64. I've talked to a lot more. I mean, it's all the same place. I mean, I've talked to a lot of Amory people. I still stay in contact with like people that I was the same age with from Amory.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. But I have not. I have not spoken but two, I think, in 6 or 7 years.
What was your mascot? The Terriers?
Tigers.
Tigers.
Yes. Very generic. Blue and gold.
Blue and gold. Most Tigers are black and gold.
Did kind of the Kentucky thing, though. We had black baseball uniforms, too.
Uh-huh.
That was a thing at that was point.
Navy blue or the lighter blue?
No, royal.
Royal blue.
Yeah. Royal. Royal and gold. It was kind of yellow, though, in a lot of suits.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be gold, but it was kind of yellow.
Kind of yellow.
Yeah. The football uniforms have been switched around a lot, and they've been horrid at football for their entire existence. But they used to be copied the LSU, so it would be the LSU logo with HHS over it instead of LSU over it.
Oh, okay.
With the stripes and everything. Okay. But then at one point, they switched to the Bengals stripes on the helmet.
Just couldn't figure out an identity.
And then now they've got like this weird cartoon tiger thing on the side, I think. It's taken a lot of... The LSU thing's pretty good. That's fine. Do that. Maybe LSU won't have a problem. They might run into some issues down the road.
You could. But God knows people would get them confused.
Yeah. But as far as my experience had taken it, it was not a problem.
You could call your stadium Death Valley. Just go all the way out.
All the way.
Just take it.
You should really like mix it, in my opinion. You should get like a rock. So you go, hey, we're not your Death Valley. We're kind of their Death Valley, too. Like Clemson, get Howard's Rock.
Oh, you could. That way you could really confuse them.
Good. Yeah.
Did you see the picture of at the LSU-Florida game? The guy more than one guy, but one guy had the cam on his helmet.
A GoPro
jumping out above Tiger Stadium, and he jumps out, and you can see the Mississippi River and all that stuff.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool, and you see how fast they're going. It was almost disconcerting. You have to be really good at that to do something like
that. To not die, yes.
To not crash into a
building or a mountain.
But he's like pulling around ropes and stuff, and I thought,
no way.
No way.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Visit Oxford. VisitOxfordMS.com. Go to the events page. And that'll come out in Radio Hour Thursday, 6 to 7:30 at All Square Books. Tomorrow, you got Sky Garden unveiled at the Chancellor's House from 6:30 to 9:00. Live on the Lawn is Friday morning from 11:30 to 1:00 at the University Museum, and public double-decker bus tours at 3 and 4 o'clock on Friday ahead of Ole Miss and Texas A&M Saturday night from Fort Hemingway Stadium. The Art Crawl's back on October 22nd and more. So go to visitoxfordms.com/events. Bookmark it. Keep up to date. Everything going on in Oxford.
As you mentioned, it's Ole Miss and Texas A&M on Saturday night at the Vaught. You can join the Rebels there. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit OleMissTix.com. The 2019-20 Ole Miss hoops season just around the corner. Don't miss any of the action of Coach Yo's women's basketball team and Coach Kermit Davis's men's team this season in the pavilion. For tickets, visit OleMissTix.com. Join the Ole Miss men's and women's hoops teams on Friday, this coming Friday, for Square Jam, presented by Oxford Orthopedics on the Oxford Square. Bring the family out to the free event featuring skills contest, player autographs, and a dunk contest to cap off the night. For more information, visit OleMissSports.com. And join the Ole Miss soccer team on Thursday as they host Alabama at 6 p.m. in an SEC showdown. Admission is free, so bring the family out and enjoy some Rebel soccer. And the red-hot Ole Miss volleyball team looks to remain unbeaten in SEC play on Friday as they take on the Arkansas Razorbacks at 8 p.m. Admission is free, and more information can be found at OleMissSports.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Blue Delta Jeans. They're all over the place this week, L.A., Jackson, Atlanta, kind of everywhere. If you are wanting to get a private fitting, you want to book an appointment, all you got to do is send them an email, info@bluedeltajeans.com. They'll take care of you. You can also jump into their DMs on Instagram or Twitter. They'll take care of you that way as well. And while you've got their attention, ask them about Gino. They're pre-selling the fabric. It's soft. It's comfortable. They got a great group of colors. The sewing begins on Halloween, so don't miss the opportunity and reserve your spot in this great new fabric line from Blue Delta Jeans. We're also brought to you by the College Corner. It's your one-stop Rebel shop. now with two locations in the Jackson area in Ridgeland next to Fleet Feet and the new location in Flowood next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, that's not a problem. You can visit them online at collegecornerstore.com plus Facebook and Instagram. Don't waste your game day in Oxford stuck in traffic and long lines to get your gear. Stop by before you go, and the staff will have you in and out and on your way. The College Corner has you covered for all your tailgate and home gate needs. They have the largest selection of Rebel gear in central Mississippi. Through the month of October, mention Rebel Grove at checkout. You get 15% off your entire purchase. You can also use it online. Just put Rebel Grove in the coupon tab at checkout to get the same discount. And we're brought to you by the refrigeration company, TRC, owned and operated by Jeremy Wattler. He's been in the refrigeration field for more than 20 years, including 5 as a national service manager at TRC. They understand that great service means being responsive. Their highly trained, responsible, and dedicated staff are available 24/7 to ensure your complete satisfaction. They specialize in ammonia refrigeration, but they work on any other HFC, HCFC, or CO2 systems. TRC is building winning relationships with customers in baking, cold storage warehouses, ice production facilities, and facilities serving dairy, food, poultry, and catfish processing. TRC is based in Spanish Fort, Alabama, but they're licensed in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, and South Carolina as well. They can handle all of your company's refrigeration needs, including installation, fabrication, service, compressor rebuilds, ammonia detection, calibration, vibration analysis, and more. To learn more, call Jeremy Wattler at 251-348-8533 or email him at jeremy@therefrigco.com. You can follow them on Facebook at The Refrigeration Company or at their website, therefrigco.com.
So just kind of saw this as I was scrolling through Pro Football Focus earlier. John Rhys Plumlee was in the game for 29 rushing plays. He carried it 19 of those 29 times.
Yeah.
So 66%-ish.
Yeah.
When he's in the game, he is, for a running play, he took the ball on Saturday. Now, he did turn that into 138 yards. But
he's a hell of a runner. But he is taking some carries away from Ely.
Jerry and Ely had 15 snaps in the game when the ball was run. And now some of those were obviously Plumlee too, but just he was in the game for 15 snaps on running plays.
Yeah, Scotty Phillips. How many carries did he have? Do you know?
Yeah. Ely had 6 carries.
Yeah, it's not using him.
Had a pretty lackluster day. Yeah. Night. Not much there. Scotty had 7. Connor had 5, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So all pretty bunched together, but just not a lot total, best I could tell. And then Elijah Moore had 1. It's kind of looking at rushing grades there. So 31 years ago today was Kirk Gibson's home run for the Dodgers.
Oh, wow. I remember that.
I was 4.
I was a freshman in college.
Wait, really?
Yep.
Was that a big deal? Like watch like World Series back then. Like is that appointment viewing in the late '80s?
Nah, probably not. But I mean, I watched it because I like postseason baseball.
There's another Gardner Minshew story on ESPN.com this morning.
About what?
The headline: Gardner Minshew has genius tendencies and an uncertain starting job. It's on the right hand rail of ESPN.com this morning. We were asked about this. I'll let you at least brief it a little. This Morey LeBron thing. What's going on?
So Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, while his team was in China for a preseason game. For context, the NBA is huge in China. They love the NBA. They love it. And they make a ton of money. The NBA makes a ton of money off China. Daryl Morey put out a tweet, really, really dastardly thing, upholding democracy,
mm-hmm.
You know, pro Hong Kong. Hong Kong and China have some issues, you know, cats and dogs. And the Chinese, Morey quickly deleted the tweet, but of course it got screenshot. And the Chinese were not happy. And they, you know, they took a lot of the signage and stuff down. And then, you know, the Lakers and the Nets, I think, were scheduled to play a couple of games in China, and I think they ultimately played the games, but it made things a little problematic for them in China. And of course, that means that LeBron James was there and he was upset. And so LeBron comes out yesterday, and he's not alone. Greg Popovich has done this to a degree. Steve Kerr has done it to a degree.
Kerr kind of just avoided it all the way around.
Yeah, well, once Kerr realized that anything I say here, I'm going to get beat up, I'm just going to move on. Which, frankly, I don't know that he has the right to do that. He has the right to do it, but I don't think it's the best look in the world when you're the guy that's always been outspoken about rights.
Always had an opinion.
Always had an opinion, and now you don't. And LeBron comes out with, you know, Morey wasn't thinking things through. It's a terrible look for LeBron James. It really is. It's a bad look for him. It
takes away from his other words when he has social causes.
It's, I care about human rights as long as the human rights that I care about
don't affect my pocketbook.
Yes. Or are easy to do. It's easy for me to stand up for, victims of police violence. Mm-hmm. It's easy for me to stand up for fellow African Americans.
Of course.
Because there's a lot of support there. But boy, when someone stands up for democracy in Hong Kong and it might mean less money for me, it might mean, you know, a loss of it might just be a little more difficult for me to stand up to the Chinese people for, you know, the way that they treat workers, mm-hmm. wages that are paid, all that stuff. It's going to be a little more problematic for me. I'm going to look for the easy route. It's just kind of typical LeBron. I don't know. It's that whole thing of just because you play a sport and you play a sport at an incredibly high level, and he did and still does. I mean, nobody's questioning. If you say the top five basketball players in the history of the game, LeBron James's name is going to come up, and it deserves to come up. But that doesn't make you a statesman.
No, he's not an expert on geopolitical climate.
Just makes you a good basketball player.
Yeah.
And he's a hell of a basketball player. And he's done a lot of really good things with his money. And people say, well, he wanted attention. Yeah, but that's okay. He's still people benefit.
Good thing is good thing.
Good thing is a good thing. And if you need attention to do the good thing, well, then okay. But he's not an expert on China at all. And what he should have said at the very beginning was nothing. When people said, what do you think about this? The best answer, you know where I'm about to go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know enough about it.
I don't know enough about it to comment. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not educated on that. I'm not well versed on that. Perhaps I should be, but I'm not. And so I don't know. Hard to criticize, I don't know, from the very beginning. Well, you ought to know. Yeah, you're right. I probably should know, and I probably should have an educated opinion on this, but I don't know enough about it. I don't know. Fair enough. I'm going to go get my 28 points and my 13 rebounds and get out of here, because that's what I do. I play basketball. And I give back, and I do my stuff.
And I have some opinions on things I do feel like I'm well-versed in.
And when I have an opinion on something that I think I'm well-versed in, I'll give it to you.
But
cool. And I'm never, you know me, I hate when people are like, stick to sports. No, why? He's a person. More than a basketball player. But don't get into stuff that you don't know anything about and make a fool of yourself. And that's what a lot of these guys have done. Frankly, what Daryl Morey said was exactly right. People said, why didn't he wait a week to put the tweet out? Fair enough. I don't know, because he said what he thought.
He didn't feel it necessary to wait a week to put the tweet up.
He was moved to speak then. For a league that does a great job, and I do mean a fantastic job of marketing, nobody markets better than the NBA. Nobody. This has not been their best couple weeks. This has impacted their preseason dramatically.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no doubt. Let's see what we got. Almost basketball is what? How long?
What's today? The 15th?
Yeah.
NBA season opens a week from tonight.
Oh, college. When's almost start?
November the 9th.
I still think that little.
It's the day before New Mexico State. Okay. Is that right? That night they play Arkansas State on a Friday night. It's at
interesting.
6.
24 hours.
Yeah.
A little bit. Some different ways. So.
Well, I mean, attendance at both of those events will be a story.
Yeah.
Because I think the attendance on that Friday night is going to be good. And that attendance on Saturday.
We'll see. Hard to imagine a huge crowd.
Unless they win Saturday.
Yeah.
This feels like.
It's a huge game.
I hate doing this because I could be so off. This feels like a really big game.
Yeah, it does. So, all right. Back tomorrow with another edition of the podcast. We'll be back here with you streaming if you'd like to watch us live. And we will obviously give those links out. This still everywhere you typically find it. You'll find this one there as well. So appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.